Hey, we're back. Good morning. My name is Fast Eddie, and I'm here with Jan D'Angelo of AAI Acquisitions Incorporated. He's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing. There's quite a market out there for the VLJs right now. It's got to be difficult right now because, obviously Eclipse led the way in this thing, and they've really got a foothold in the market. And you guys are, you're coming out of the ashes just like the legendary Phoenix. So you've really got your work cut out for you here. What did all of this entail? I mean, what did it take to go and put this bid together and to take over the assets of the former Adam Aircraft Company? And, what obstacles are lying ahead of you?
Well, a little history on our investors. I was previously heading up international and fleet sales with the prior company. And I traveled around the world and had a lot of contact at different international shows with people from all over Asia, and Russia happened to be one of those areas. And I had been working for a couple of years with a group out of Russia that have the only operating air taxi company out of Moscow. It's called Dexter Air Taxi. And they are part of, or they are owned as part of a group called Industrial Investors in Moscow that has a portfolio of transportation interest. And there's actually two partners. It's Industrial Investors and another firm called Kazco out of Moscow. And these are private equity firms that invest in transportation and aerospace industries. And they heard, I was in the midst of responding to a proposal for them for the Adam 700, and they heard about the bankruptcy of the company, and so I received a call. They flew over to the States, met with the management team, and we kind of laid out to them where we were in development, and they took a very keen interest in pursuing this bid. So in that 60-day period between the bankruptcy and the submitting the successful bid, we worked very closely with them in putting together our business plan for certifying the jet, analyze all the risks, the benefits in the market, the marketplace, what the demand would be, and bundled all that up and went and submitted our bid. The thing that's significant about it, Eddie, is these Russian investors, this is their first investment in the United States. And so it gets a lot more attention by them. And they also have their air taxi company, and they have a charter airline in Moscow. And at some future point, hopefully they'll be a customer of ours as well. But in the meantime, their primary purpose is to give us the funding, all the funding that we need to move into certification of the jet through production. Certification projection right now is sometime at end of 2009, beginning of 2010.
Wow, that's a long way off. That's a year and a half, could be 2 years, depending upon how big the gremlins are in this project. We know about gremlins. We've had enough of them running around the radio station. This is a very ambitious project, though. You're basically setting a schedule of approximately a year and a half to get this thing certified, and then you've got to start ramping up production. Are you guys taking orders for this aircraft yet?
Comment on that in just a second, but it's a good question about, can you do this in the amount of time that you're projecting? And, everybody knows this isn't an exact science. Trying to get an airplane certified, very expensive, but we certainly have the funding in place. Secondly, we're about 50% of the way through the certification effort, thanks to the efforts of the prior company. And so we're going to be able to leverage off all of the work that was previously completed. And that was one of the big attractions to the investor, have the ability to come in and buy all that intellectual property at a steep discount, and then be able to leverage off that and get this airplane in the market relatively quickly.
And I can understand that, because you don't want to have to duplicate the work that was already done. And because certifying an airplane is a very costly, time-consuming, and expensive deal. And of course, if you don't have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, life can be very expensive to redo a lot of things again.
Absolutely.
So you're talking about certifying the jet. The piston aircraft is already certified.
That's correct.
And right now you guys are just going to kind of park that in a corner of the hangar somewhere. When the 700 gets certified and you guys start production of the 700, are you also talking about bringing the 500 up into production as well?
You know, there aren't any plans to do that right at the moment, and it's really kind of a matter of where the market is. Once we get the jet done, I think the big advantage here is when we get the jet certified and we get our production line in place, we'll be that much further down the road in terms of learning curve. And so it would be much easier to revitalize a program like the A500. And at that time, it's possible there could be different types of power plants or other things that we could incorporate in that program, and then just see what the market is. But currently, the market on a piston twin, you know, isn't as strong as the VLJ. So the efforts are primarily oriented towards getting the jet in certified and into production. I'll add to that. You asked about the order book and the orders. We're, as a new company, we're looking at the total bill of material for the aircraft, the equipment that we'll put in it, how we're going to spec it out, and are not yet in a position to take orders. We don't currently have an established retail price, but those are all the plans we're working on, and we've only been open about 100 days, and that's part of the organizational process.
I would have to say you're doing remarkably well. Now, when you get the aircraft certified and you're ready to start production, obviously you're going to have a big investment laid out in tooling, production equipment, and everything like that. And one of the more important aspects of something like this is your workforce. What about the previous company's workforce? Are you going to be able to hire them all back, or are they already back?
Good question. Interesting data point. We had, within 60 days prior to shutdown, we had a little over 900 people on the payroll. And when the aerospace industry learned of the shutdown of the company, literally within 24, 48 hours, about every aerospace company in the business was in Denver, Colorado, with job fairs, recruiting, because it's a very difficult market to get engineering talent. And so that was our crisis at the time, is to try to retain as many folks as we could. And our investors actually did something unprecedented and brilliant. And at our suggestion, we identified a core team of talent that we really needed to keep in place. And they actually set everyone up on a temporary employment agreement while we were going through the bankruptcy process. And so that forestalled anyone from going off to the friendly competitors in the industry, not knowing full well what the outcome would be in the auction. But as fate would have it, we won. And when we opened the doors, what happened is 50 of those people came back to work the very first day. And we did a little bit of triage. So each of those department heads went out and told their subsequent hires about what we were doing. And so a lot of people took temporary assignments, contract positions. So that's why we're able to ramp up, you know, the first 100 days, get about 150 folks in the payroll. Today, it's a little tougher to get into the recruiting mode to bring some of those people back. You know, some folks went back to Wichita, whatever. But there's a lot of interest. And, you know, with our new company and mission and funding, we're starting to get some of those people attracted back to the company.
It's good that you were able to hold on to your core workers, because a lot of companies out there don't realize how important the engineering staff and the production staff, you know, your skilled workers and everything, how important they are to bringing forth a quality product. I mean, let's face it, anybody can sling burgers, but when it's putting a wing together on an airplane, you want to have somebody there that knows what they're doing. And I'm sure that when you ramp the production up, that you're going to have extensive training programs for all of your new hires so that they learn how to put this thing together properly to ensure a quality and, more importantly, a safe project, a product.
Well, we will have that in place. In fact, just recently we have a new president, CEO of the company, who's an industry veteran, a gentleman by the name of Jack Brawley, who in his prior life was head of Sinoswearingen down in Texas, in San Antonio, and prior to that was a career history with Beechcraft, both before and after it was purchased by Raytheon. And Jack actually went through the whole Beech Starship program. So he's very experienced with composites, very experienced with production process, has a lot of wisdom that he brings to the table, so it's very beneficial in terms of how we're going to structure the company for production.
We got to wrap this up. You're listening to Fast Eddie on EAA Radio.